Right. Well, oh, Monica, where's Monica? Come on up. Got a baptism piece for Monica. Yes. You're welcome. You're welcome. Nice to be greeted with somebody with a big old smile. Yes. Well, it's good to be here this morning. I hope you feel good that you're here this morning. And I want to share a couple of things before we begin here in the message part. So I mentioned being a part of Sin Relief here, that we were working on some type of partnership. And so I want to just take a few minutes and explain that really quick. So we have so Sin Relief is a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, and there's some amenities that they have. But Sin Relief is the one that does a lot with food, does a lot with disaster relief when there's like tornadoes and hurricanes, and they have teams that go in and clean those up. And every state has one, so ours is just continuing to grow. And but what they've done is they've got these sites all across. I don't know if my pointer works, but all across the United States. And so I don't know if you can see that. So these yellow ones here, they're the ones that they take care of. They financially support. They have their own teams in there. So in Atlanta is where the Southern Baptist Convention headquarters is, right there in Alpharetta, just north of Atlanta. They touch each other. And so they have, I think there's like 12 of them, maybe something like that. These are all sites that they have, like, and they all specialize, like Las Vegas over there, does human trafficking. And Atlanta, that Alpharetta right there, that's actually Valdosta there. Can't see it, it's over there, it's in white. But they do children, so they're big, really big in foster care. They do foster care camps all summer long and those kind of things. Right out here in South Dakota, that's an Indian reservation where they do a lot of work out there. And so they do a lot of things in all these areas. But what they do is now they have affiliates, and I think that's our next slide there. And so the affiliates are those ones, you can't see them very much, but green. They're the ones that their affiliate partnership. So if you go online and you can look at it under Sin Relief, you can see that they have these two different maps. But these green ones, like right here, these two green right here in Oklahoma, north of them, and but they all do different types of ministries. Well, there was a couple of months ago that I had called up. I think like 2.5 months ago, I called the office there and just left them a message and said, somebody needs to get on a plane and fly up here and see what we're doing. I'm in Indiana. This is who we are. And so I got a call later that day, and then we set up an appointment and said, what's going on? What's going on up there? Well, I just said, I think you need to see what we've been doing. And so eventually, maybe 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, somebody did get on a plane, and they flew up to Fort Wayne, and they came here, and we spent the 3/4 of the day here. And so we took them on a tour of all of our facilities and those kind of things, and then they wanted to see what we were about and everything. So they offered us a partnership to be one of those green dots. See, there's nothing in Indiana. So we would be number 13. So they don't want it. So Indiana will be us. So basically, we will continue to do what we're doing. What it does is it gives us opportunities to network with other these facilities here. Also gives us opportunities for a lot more mission teams. If you go on their website there, like if you pulled up each one of those, they'll tell you what they can do, tells you about their mission teams and those kinds of things like that as they receive mission teams. And one of those requirements was that you had to be able to receive mission teams, and we do that, right? So that was a no-brainer for us. It's not like they're going to give us finances all the time, but they'll give us a little bit here in the beginning. They already have a little bit. So they gave us, I think, $7,000 5 weeks ago, and they're going to do another $8,000. And today it's a 2-year partnership, and actually today is our first day. Today is our first day. Yeah. So today is our first day being a partner and affiliate with Sin Relief. So that also gives opportunities for us to get our name out there, to get other partnerships that we need to keep what we're doing going. So we do have some financial partners across the country, not as many as I'd like. Like one state might have one person, another state might have two, but we need to fill that up. And I think we can. This is going to help us in that area of getting new mission teams, new financial partners, and getting us on the map so that we will not just be passed over. And if you notice, Huntington is not as big as Oklahoma City, Denver, Las Vegas, Los Angeles. You got where I'm going at. These are big cities. Chicago, New York, Baltimore, those are all big cities. There's only a few that are small, and we would be one of the small ones. So Huntington is getting actually on the map. So, yeah, I think that's a good thing. Yeah. Just taking a minute to get there. Just taking a minute to get there, and I'm so excited about what that partnership is going to be. Also, we are receiving like 14 college students from Alabama in the week before Christmas. So they'll be here doing some work and serving. And we don't usually take mission teams in during the winter and holiday season, but we're going to get 14 college students out of Alabama. So I'm looking forward to that. So this place never stops. Never stops. You get bored, come down and see Phil Marlowe, and Phil Marlowe will find you something to do. Yes. So, well, it is good to be here today. It's good to see your faces here today. I'm excited about this partnership for sure. Where actually was this whole piece was printed in the state convention, our Indiana State Convention. It has a big article of this, so you can look it up on SBC, not SBC, but our Southern Baptist Convention of Indiana, SCBI. You can look that up on your website. There's a big article about us in there, and then there'll probably be something also in the national part as well. And then next year, in June, we're going to be meeting down at the national meeting of the Southern Baptists and the whole world will meet in Indianapolis. And so we're getting a table there to share who we are. So pray about that, because that table, hopefully we can get one. It's like $2,000, but there's 18,000 people usually show up to that. That's a lot of people. So we'll be able to share what we do with the rest of the world. So it's a moment that just gives us a big impact. And so they made a deal with Indianapolis and with a really good deal with the Baptists. So they're going to be also back in 2028. So it's kind of like we're going to be hitting it again. So anyway, so pretty excited about what's going on for New Life and New Life Ministries. I hope you're excited, because if you're part of this church, you're part of it. And you need to own it. Sound good? And we're still working on and praying about a mission trip for us next year. So, but anyway, I want to go into our Bible today in John chapter 21. But as you turn there, I want to pray today that God will open our hearts, but also want to pray for Israel today, and want to pray for what's going on in Ukraine, still going on. This world is like, God has it all in his hands, but we as people, the world is evil, but we need to pray. Father, Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity to gather ourselves together as believers here today. Gather ourselves together under your name, united under your name, Lord. We are believers and we are part of your family for those that know you today. Lord, we want to lift up this special time that we do each Sunday, each week, that we just lift up your name. We pray, Father, that you would be within this service as we know that you are. Speak to our hearts. So give us the ears to hear the things that we need to hear. And give us eyes, spiritual eyes, that would be open, Lord, that we would see what you would have for us today and in the future. But Father, we also pray not just for ourselves today, but we pray, Father, and thank you for this opportunity to be a part of Sin Relief as an affiliate. We ask that you would bless that as well. Bless those who have allowed us to be a part of that as they are blessing and you are blessing us. But Father, not only us alone in ourselves, but also we pray for those that are in Israel and that whole thing over there. We lift that up to you, Lord. That is not the first time that battles have come there, but Lord, we just lift up them. We lift up Israel to you. We lift up all the people there. We lift up the people on both sides. We lift them up because life is a gift. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you would use your ways, Lord, that your gospel would spread even through this. We also pray for those that are in Ukraine, with that peace there with Russia as well. We pray, Father, that your spirit will continue to move on both sides in that area as well. Lord, we know that this world is in your hands, but we know the evil one, Lord, does work here loves the evilness and those things. But Father, we know that your light shines brighter. And I pray, Father, for those that know the gospel, that will share the gospel with those that are out there on the battlefield and those that are in the rear and those, Lord, that are right in the middle of all of it. I pray, Father, for them. I pray, Father, for our country. I pray, Father, for our world. And I pray, Father, Lord, that we would just be the people you called us to be. May our hearts be ready, even when you're ready to return. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So today we're going to be in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, I want to bring you to a piece here that Jesus has been crucified, he has died, he has resurrected, and he has shown himself a couple of times now to the disciples. And this is going to be the third time he's going to show them, but this is going to be a little different. Prior was to remind them and know that, hey, I am the Son of God, just to remind you and to confirm to you the things that I've told you and taught you along these last 3 years has all come true. All have come true. But we find here seven of these disciples are just kind of hanging out, not sure really what to do. Jesus has shown himself a couple of times, but they're not sure what to do. But their hearts and their minds and their thoughts are not really probably in the best place right now. Seven of them are there, and they're hanging out. Let's pick it up in verse 3. "I'm going fishing," Simon Peter said to them. "We're coming with you," they told him. They went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. I believe this night was one of the longest nights. Especially if you've ever been fishing and you don't catch anything. Time just drags. It just drags. You're like, oh my, I'll take anything right now. Just give me a bite. Just give me something. Just give me something. But I don't think Peter was really interested in catching any fish. I think him and the guys are just like, we got to do something. We got to do something. And we know that Peter is the leader here because here he goes. He says, "I'm going fishing." Everybody says, "Well, we're going with you." People follow leaders. So we kind of know that Peter is the leader, pretty much one of the main key leaders here. And so they are going fishing. I don't know about you, but when you're out there and you're hunting or you're fishing and nothing's happening, you start thinking. You start having some flashbacks. You start having some of those flashbacks that can be good. And you can have flashbacks and thinking about some good things that's happened in your life. I think Peter, what he's doing here is he's thinking about things that are not so good. People have, you know, some of us may have not had the best memory, the best, you know, we didn't see a parent when we should have seen a parent when they were passing away, or we didn't call somebody because we were so angry with them and something happened to them. And so we have this piece in our life that's just never had any completion to it. Well, we see this is a tough spot for him. You see, the last time Peter really had a chance to talk to Jesus was not really what was going on in the garden per se when they were praying or even at the Last Supper. But I believe he was thinking about the time when he cut off this guy's ear because he said, "I'm going to fight, Jesus, I'm going to fight." He remembered Jesus told him, "No, you're not. You're going to deny me 3 times. You're going to run." "No, I'm not. No, I'm not." But the last thing that Peter really, really heard out of Jesus was, "Put it away." I mean, and we see that Jesus gets pretty stern with Peter. Yeah. And we know that this is always a tough area to see. That if you've ever been to a place where you've denied Christ, you know that you've let him down. You've had some sin in your life and you know that you just kind of faded away from him. I believe his flashback goes right back to the book of Luke. I'm going to read it because when you have something that's so impacting, there's so much detail in it. And I want to share, I want to read this detail. So I believe it's a flashback of a couple of flashbacks we're going to go to today. Jesus was arrested and they took him and Peter followed him a little bit. It says, they seized him and led him away, that being Jesus, and brought him into the high priest's house. Meanwhile, Peter was following at a distance, and they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, and Peter sat among them. When a servant saw him sitting in the light and looked closely at him, she said, this man was with him too. But he replied, woman, I don't know you. I don't know him. And after a little while, someone else saw him and said, you're one of them too. Man, I am not. And Peter said, about an hour later, another kept insisting, this man was certainly with him, since he also is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Immediately, when he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. So Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. Another gospel says that Peter was cursing and cussing. Maybe we've done that too. Maybe we've used the Lord's name in vain. Got to a point where we're using it enough where we feel really guilty about it. We know we shouldn't be saying that. There's something here in Scripture that we could have passed over really hard, or really easy, but it's one of the hardest things. I believe the hardest thing that's even happened to Peter was what this Scripture says here. It says, then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. They didn't have to say anything. They have a relationship of 3 years together, closeness. And all they did, Peter, getting these people saying, listen, I know you're one. No, I'm not. And then Jesus, they're pulling Jesus out of the room, out of the house, out of that peace. And then Jesus looks at Peter. Peter looks at Jesus. And no words have to be said. I told you I was going to fight to the end. Here I am saying, I don't even know you. And then all of a sudden was the hook, line, sinker. Rooster, just right off in the distance. And what does it say? Peter went outside. Scripture says he ran. And he wept bitterly. Basically what he did is he went around the corner. He got away from everybody and he broke down. He broke down because he knew what he just did. In fear, he denied who Jesus was. He denied knowing him, being a part of that group of the disciples. He's out. He's fishing. And he's thinking about all that has happened and transpired and thinking about all that. And they don't catch any fish that night, so he can't get busy about anything. And if you want your mind to wander, just don't do anything and your mind can wander into some pretty dark holes. That's why sometimes idle time is dangerous time. Whether it's in our mind or what we do. Well, the night was a long night. Then he goes back to John. He says in verse 4, when daybreak came, Jesus stood at the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast that net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. And the disciple, the one that Jesus loved, that being John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off and plunged into the sea, since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, and the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. Wow. Here we again, we see Peter is still being a leader. John turns around. Jesus is on the shore. They can't recognize him. He changes his appearance each time. And we see that they can't recognize him. But John catches it. John catches it. How does John catch it? Huh. Those are familiar words. Do you got any fish over there? Those are familiar words. Cast the net on the right side of the boat. And you'll find some. And as soon as they caught a lot of fish in that net, John little alarm goes off and says, oh man, I've been here before. That's Jesus right there. But he doesn't say it like that's Jesus right there. What does he do? He looks to the leader and he says, Peter, that's the Lord. It's like when we're running away from the Lord. We've done some things. Our church attendance is like horrible. We've drifted away. We've done doing our own thing. Our mouth is pretty garbage. Our thought line's garbage. We know we have the Lord inside of us, but we buried it down and we're doing it. And all of a sudden we get around and we maybe hit up another service from time to time, or we get around and the Lord does something in your world, in the midst of your atmosphere where you're at, and you all of a sudden know that's the Lord. Because inside you know. But outside you're not living it. And that conviction is heavy. That conviction is heavy, and you know, what am I holding? I shouldn't be holding. What I'm saying, I shouldn't be saying. What I'm watching, I shouldn't be watching. Where I'm standing, I shouldn't be standing. Remember that Jesus told him, you're going to be fishers of men. They're not fishing for men, are they? And what I love about this, it says it's the Lord, but when Simon heard it, he put his shirt back on or whatever, and he just jumps in the water 100 yards out. Now, I don't know about you, but 100 yards for swimming, that's a pretty long distance for some of us. I just had a flashback. I had a flashback because I was studying this. Just knowing some of the scriptures here, still learning the scriptures, still I'm going to always be a learner of the scriptures. I hope that you will be too. But also, every time I see this scripture, I think, oh man, Peter just jumped in the water. But I remember when Peter says, you know what, is that you, Lord? And he begins to walk on water. You see, one thing I'm going to tell you is when you're out of the will of the Lord, you can't do those things. He's broken. He feels, I've let Jesus down. I've let the guys down. I don't know what to do. So he went back to doing what he knew before. And you know how many people do that? I'm going to start a church. I'm going to start a ministry. I'm going to start this. And they start it, and they didn't. And it gets a little tough, and many of them, they just go right back to wherever they started from. And people do it all the time. And Peter turns around. And he just jumps in the water. Now, Scripture tells us that the rest of them pulled up the net and they dragged that boat back up and they all end up on the shore. They're all up on the shore. Now they're all up there now. Fishing is over. Jesus did ask him if you have any fish. They couldn't. He knew they didn't catch anything all night long. You know, it's funny. When you're trying to do things your way, it usually don't work. As a believer, I'll just tell you, it doesn't work. Even if you can make money, you have the tendency that God allows it to have a hole in your pocket. Where every time you make a dollar, 50, it's all going out. Whether you're building something, you have so much problems with it, it costs you more than it takes everything. When you're out of the will of the Lord, it just doesn't work. But here he finds out that the Lord comes on the scene. He allows them to have fish. They're on the shore. And what's going to happen is they're all going to get there. And it says in verse 13, Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. And he did the same with the fish. And this is the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. But this is a little different one. This is a little different one. I want to go back to a moment. That second flashback I'm talking about goes back to the book of Luke as well. And it says here in verse 5, when Jesus was just meeting the disciples, we need to get that in peace. As the crowds were pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake, and the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon. And he asked him, that's Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, which was his Peter, put into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? God's not afraid to use your past again. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. But they did this. They caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their boats so full that they began to sink. And then it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord. Go away." Now Peter is not saying go away. Peter is swimming and running to Jesus. And he knows he's a sinful man. He knows what he did. And it was part of prophecy, but he knows what he did. But I believe he knows the only one that can fix his heart is Jesus. The only one that can fix the brokenness is the Lord himself. You see, now he's got 3 years of relationships and experience of seeing Jesus do miracles, even himself walking on water with Jesus. Wow, that's a lot. There's a lot of history there with these two. And then what happens in this moment? They're all around eating some bread and some fish. You remember the last time they had a meal together? Yeah. They call it the Last Supper. Jesus provides some stuff for them. And verse 15 says, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now everything becomes right toward Peter. Peter is the one who needs to get this fixed in his heart. And some of you today have things that you're holding back and you're not letting the Lord be the Lord in your life because you got walls built up. You got things in your life that you're not letting him be God of your life. And sometimes we feel that we're so ashamed because of what we've done that we pull away from the Lord. "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you. Feed my lambs," he told him. A second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep," he told him. And he asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" It's a tough spot right here. Three times that Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" And we know that three times that Peter denies Jesus three times. But here it is that Peter's coming into this conversation and the questions are coming from Jesus when so many times in Scripture that Jesus was asking them a question to teach them. But here it is. Here it is, this piece. Jesus knows that Peter needs to be restored. There's a lot more going on in here than what that the Scriptures can just... So when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" You know what Jesus is also saying in the same thing? "Do you love me, Peter?" He's saying, "You know I love you." He's letting Jesus know that he loves him. We don't talk about that much, but here it is. Jesus saying, "Do you love me?" Because undeniably, Peter knew that Jesus loved him. But because of what Peter did, he could have had doubts that Jesus loved him because he betrayed him. He denied him. He ran. Even when their eyes were locked in on each other. And he says this, "I want you to feed my lambs." There's all kinds of different things about the different types of love. I'm not going into that, but I do want to go into... He says, "Feed my lambs." It's going to be them young, new Christians. That's going to be them new Christians. It's going to come on. You don't understand it yet, but it's going to happen. "You're going to feed my lambs." But he also said, "Yes, I do. I love you." And then he says, "I want you, do you love me? Do you love me enough to get it and to come back and do what you got to do?" And that is to shepherd my sheep. Take care of them. Take care of them. Feed my lambs. Teach them. Give them milk. Shepherd my sheep. Take care of the flock. Take care of the believers. And the third was, Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know everything. You know that I love you. How many of you have ever had that conversation with Jesus? You know, Lord, what I did. He says, feed my sheep. You know, the funny thing is when you got sin in your life and you confess it, so many times the Lord says, okay, the Lord forgives us, right? But so many times the Lord sets us on a journey of doing something for Him. Before you can serve the Lord with all your heart, you have to be broken. You have to know that it's not about you, that it's not about the way that you want to do it or about when you want to do it. If you are a believer and you know that, and then you know and you want it, that you're going to do something for God, you have to be broken. Or you're just going to be a wild horse doing your own thing. And people do that all the time in ministry. And things cause, and so many problems happen. And he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep, which is disciple my believers. You know what he's saying? You got to get back to work, bud. I love you. Do you love me? And love is what? Love is the first thing you got to have if you're going to do ministry. It is the number one thing. If you can't love people, you need to get out of ministry. You got to get out if you don't love people. And here he is, says, feed my sheep, Jesus said. And then Jesus says this, truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted to. Walk wherever you wanted to, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you do not want to go. Now he's telling Peter, you're going to die one day. You're going to do this. But here it is. He says, there was a time when you were younger. You did what you want. I'm going to break it down to where we can get it. But what I'm calling you to do, you're no longer in charge of it. I am. You see, the problem, if you read up on the Holman Bible, the Holman Bible uses a word that a lot of the translations won't use. Because they didn't want to, and when they did the King James, they used the word servant. And when you read in the word servant, it means that you serve, because they didn't want to, they chose to use the word servant instead of the word slave, because slave was offensive. But slave, listen, I tell you this, I am a slave to Jesus Christ, and I have no doubts about it. I gave him my heart when I was 12, but when I was 30, I gave him my life. That's it. I sold in, I was 100% in. Not when I got saved. But at 30, I had a moment in my life where I said, listen, I'm all in. That's the moment. I said, there is. I surrender. I'm a slave to you. I'll be a slave because you are awesome. You do much better at life than I do on my own. And here it is. And you do better at life than when I keep you at a distance and I do my thing. But here it is. I'm going to go into this thing 110%. I don't know myself. I don't think you get there on salvation, but I think it gets there somewhere in your walk with the Lord as you grow. And here it is with Peter. He has this moment. And he says, I'm telling you, you gotta feed my sheep, you gotta feed my lambs, you gotta shepherd my sheep, and you gotta feed my sheep. You know what he's doing? He's restoring him into ministry. These guys are feeling like they're done. They failed the test. They don't understand. They're not understanding a lot of things. And he says this, when you were younger, you did what you wanted to do. Well, when you come to Christ and you come and you begin to understand what some of the scriptures, you begin to understand who God is in a more, you're just learning more about Him. You're learning more about who you are. You're realizing you need to make a choice. Are you going to let Him be a distant God, a distant Savior? Are you going to let Him be who He really is? Your Creator, a Master. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him, follow me. Follow me. The last part of that is follow me. I'm going to read something from the book of Mark. Mark 1, verse 17. When Jesus first meets him, he says this. As he passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon Andrew, Simon's brother, that's Peter, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says, follow me. In the beginning, when Jesus first met him, he said, follow me, boys. And they did. Just like in your salvation, you follow. But as you begin to do your walk with the Lord, it gets deeper. You get deeper into that relationship with Christ. And then he turns around and he again says, follow me. The first part was, you're going to trust me. You're going to trust me. This is where it all comes down to today. You're going to trust me with your salvation. Trust me as who I say I am. And they did that. But it was later on, after Jesus did all those 3 years of miracles, teaching, all that he did, died, was buried, and resurrected, showed himself, he begins to say this once again, follow me. There's a difference. This follow me here is, follow me, listen, everything you've got. Yeah, in the beginning they dropped their nets, they walked away from a job. Now they got to walk away from everything. First he said, you're going to be fishers of men. Okay, that's a broad piece, isn't it? Fishers of men. Wow, I catch fish? He wants me to catch fishers of men. Great. Didn't quite understand it, but we trust him. Now it's feed my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my lambs. The responsibility was they were not going to be no longer disciples. It was soon they were going to be apostles. They were going to become apostles. And they were going to make disciples. They were disciples, but they were going to become apostles. They needed to step up and teach Christians to become disciples as Jesus taught them to be disciples. And we know that there were more than just the 12 disciples. Amen? I hope we know that. There were other disciples, but these were the ones that the Lord had chosen for him to walk with him. But there were always other disciples. Praise the Lord for that. Today I know this. Some of us are living a life with Jesus way over here, well, way over there, way up there. But we know what's wrong here. We know where we need to be. You know what God is calling to you. You know the Holy Spirit. You that are believers are not in his, not doing what you should be doing. You know in your heart that you are not where you need to be. Amen? Oh, come on now. You know that you're not in the place where you need to be or where you should have been the last 2 or 3 years. You know that. You know that. Nobody has to tell you that. The Holy Spirit confirms that into you. And you know what that's called? And when it's not right, it's conviction. And it weighs like a ton. But somehow, our flesh can lift that ton of conviction sometimes. And we'll carry that conviction. And we'll continue to take the Lord's name in vain. But we feel convicted about it. We'll do something we know we shouldn't do. And we'll still feel convicted about it. But then sometimes the Lord comes up to us. And he says, it's time. You gave me your heart, but I want all of you. You need to give me all of you. This is why being a Christian is a journey. Salvation is the greatest gift that God has ever given to man, woman, child. But once we become saved, then it begins a new process of growing into the person that God wants you to be. But we run because we've done something we shouldn't have done. We're hiding from God. We don't know what to do. We're filled with guilt. But Jesus doesn't come and visit us like he did with these guys. Doesn't need to, because he gives us the Holy Spirit and visits through his Holy Spirit. He says, come on. Do you love me? You know, When we think about not getting back with the Lord right, we think about all of our junk. And rightfully, we should. That's our sin. You know, that's the one thing I know in my walk with the Lord. When I was living as a prodigal, you know, the Lord talked less about my sin, but that's what I talked about. You know what the Lord talked to me more about? I love you, man. I love you. Just the presence of the Lord. Sometimes He doesn't even have to say a thing. There's a radiance of power that comes out of Him, that flows. His Holy Spirit just comes upon you and just washes you and just cleans you, and you just come to Him. But I will remind you, the devil always wants to remind you of your past. Always wants to remind you of what you used to do, what you used to be. Jesus says, let's deal with that, but we're going to move on. This is why He said, do you love me? Yes. Okay, then I want you to feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes. I want you to shepherd my sheep. Do you love me? I hurt Him. But sometimes when we're confessing, there's a little pain in it. Some of us, I believe, we need to get our hearts right back with the Lord. We need to get our lives back with the Lord. We're like Peter being out in the boat with the other disciples. We're out there floating around, not even knowing real. We're trying to think we're doing something, but we're not. Whatever we're doing is not working. We're not catching anything because that's not where we're supposed to be. But that's where they were. You ever have a long night laying in bed? You know you did some things you shouldn't have done. Something you can't get off your chest. You got some sin in you. It just weighs on you all the time. You know what I love about the Lord? He gives second and third and fourth chances. He gives you redos. And maybe you need a redo. Maybe you need the opportunity today to get your life in the area where God wants it to be. Not where you want it to be, but where He wants it to be. Where He wants it to be, where you can be a blessing to Him. Not a blessing to yourself, but a blessing to Him. You've got your salvation. Great. Amen to that. You've got your baptism. Yes, that's an awesome thing. You do communion. That's good for you as long as you examine yourself. But I want to tell you this. Does the Lord have all of you? That's what He wants. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, as we get ready this moment, bless this moment and our hearts this morning that we might be right with You. For we know that You are always right with us. But Lord, let us walk out of here being right with You. Not by our own judgment, not by our own ideas, but by Your Spirit who testifies to the truth. We ask You today that Your Spirit would come upon each one of us that are believers today. Examine our hearts and our lives. Speak to us in a way that You want to speak. And for those or anyone that doesn't know You, speak to them in a way that a lost person needs to hear. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.